First Timothy chapter 4. We'll read the entire chapter. We'll just deal with a few verses this evening and then we'll go to the house. Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Lord, we surely thank you again for the privilege we've had to be here this evening. The songs that's been sung, Lord, we thank you for these old hymns that's been handed down to us down through the years. Help us, Lord, to embrace them. Help us to sing them. Help us to meditate upon them. Help us to just let them speak to our hearts. Lord, I thank you for those that had a vision, Lord, that you give the ability to write these songs that's been passed down to us that we can enjoy, Lord, in this year 2016. Lord, knowing that some of them was written back there in 1800. But, Lord, we just thank you that we can still sing them and they still have the touch of God on them. Lord, help us now for just a little bit. Lord, and you know what we stand in need of. Stir our hearts around the Word of God, and we'll give you glory and praise for all that you do and accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can be seated. We've been going through 1 Timothy for several weeks here. And Paul said up there in verse 15, he said, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." And he's writing to young Timothy and he's instructing him and giving him the order in which to carry on the house of God, how to act and to behave in the house of God when they go. He's given him chapter 3. He's given him the qualifications of bishops or pastors and then of deacons. And we know that everything that we do in the church ought to evolve around these qualifications, these instructions that the Apostle Paul has given to Timothy here when he wrote this epistle to him, and the instructions that he gave him. He was concerned. He knew that he was going to face a lot of things. And then he gets here where this chapter 4 has been broken down. We see warnings about false teachers. And if you got a Scofield Bible, it says the walk of a good minister of Jesus Christ. But in essence, what he's doing, he's warning him about the last days and latter times of what he may face and what he's going to face in the days that lies ahead. And he starts out there, said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." That word expressly denotes the importance of what is about to be said. And I'm glad that this wasn't just something that Paul come up with, but is under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that he wrote this epistle, and he was given these warnings and these instructions to a young preacher boy by the name of Timothy that he knew was going to face some things that would probably be discouraging to him. You know, we're all made of the same thing. We're all made of flesh, and if we're not careful, if we get to looking around us and looking at situations and looking at problems that arise a lot of time, we'll get discouraged maybe. And he knew that Timothy, I read somewhere that Timothy, they said, had a little bit of timidity about him. And Paul knew that, and he knew that he could be discouraged very easily. And he was encouraging him. He just sort of took Timothy under his wing. We know that Timothy come in the picture over in the book of Acts there, and probably was saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. But we see here that he said, "The Spirit speaketh expressly." And what was about to be said was important. And we see that he tells him what's going to happen in the latter times. He says, "Some shall depart from the faith." And so we see, first of all, we see the departing from the faith here. And we know that we see that all the time in our day, and it's been going on since the time of the Apostle Paul. There was those that left Paul, those that was with him in one place. The Bible said that Demas, having loved this present world, hath departed from it. So he departed basically from the faith. I mean, it didn't say that he'd done something bad, but it just said that his love for the world had drawn him away. But we see here that he said that they were in the latter times that some shall depart from the faith. And we've seen that in our day. We've seen people that's departed the faith, the teachings that they had been handed down, the doctrines that's been passed along. And even Jude over here, in the book of Jude, makes mention. They call that also the Acts of the Apostates, the book of Jude. And he warns there in his writing, in his book, he said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And verse 4 says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." And we see that today happening. We see people that's departed from the faith, the doctrine of grace. They've gotten completely away from what this Bible teaches about grace, about getting saved. I was reading an individual today, and this guy was teaching some very erroneous teachings. You know, basically what they was teaching was universal salvation, that when Jesus died and he said it is finished, that in essence that everyone is saved now since that point in time. But, you know, he said since he started teaching and teaching the Bible in context, you know, and going verse by verse, that he had come up with this new doctrine that he's teaching, basically. And it was actually, you can find it if you want to Google it, you can Google the Gospel According to Mike. And you'll find out how erroneous the teachings of people in this day and hour that we're living in, that gotten away from the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I mean, we know that what the Bible teaches, that every individual is responsible. Jesus died for the whole world. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for all men, but all men are responsible to receive that gift. The Bible said, "For by grace are you saved, through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Nothing that we can do to earn salvation. But in essence, what this guy was saying, that everybody's saved and that they don't believe unto salvation, but they believe, when they find out that they were saved already because they're learning that their faith wasn't believing unto Jesus, what their faith was believing because of what He had already done for them and that He had already saved them. And I thought, how erroneous and how people get caught up in this trying to change things. I mean, if your doctrine, if your teaching don't line up with what's been passed down through the years and it lines up with this Bible, then I would be checking up. If you're different than what most everybody else is teaching and what's been taught and what this Bible teaches, then we better check up and see what where we've gone astray. And so Paul was here under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil." Hey, that's a little more than doctrines of devils. I mean, that'll give people a false hope in Christ that they've not trusted Christ. You know, the Bible does say over in Matthew, it says that about the way being straight and narrow, and you know, the broad is the gate that leadeth to destruction, but narrow is the way that leadeth unto life everlasting, and few there be that find it. And we find out that there's a lot of these teachers today. There's a lot of pie in the sky preachers preaching today, you know, and it's all false doctrine. They've departed from the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So we see the time that these teachers will come here in verse 1. He said, in the latter times. So we realize that the Apostle Paul even felt like he was living in the latter days. Since Jesus died and since the gospel was being preached, we've been living in the last days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days He's coming. They've been preaching, this Bible's been teaching and that all through these years. And one of these days, we may be the generation that gets out of here, but I believe that we're living in the latter times. I mean, this evening, and we've seen a lot of people that's departed faith. There's a lot of people that's departed the faith around Gainesville and Hall County. There's a lot of people that used to believe the old time way, and they've gotten away from that. Everybody's trying to justify the use of the modern versions of the Bible. They're trying to discredit this King James Bible that God gave us. I mean, you have to look at the history of this Bible that we have before us, and you can see the hand of God in it all the way from the very beginning when King James issued the authority to for these men to translate an English version of the Bible that the common person could understand, and we see God's hand in it and how quick they come up with it and how put it together. And those men were very educated men. They weren't illiterate. I mean, some of them can speak multiple languages, and they all had to come up when they got the interpretation, when they got the translation, they all had to agree. And when they got to that agreement, then they come and it all put together, and we got this as a miraculous book that we have. And we see a lot of people that's trying to have departed from the faith. They've departed from eternal security. They've departed from, even in the Baptist realm, we've seen people that's departed from the faith around games. They take the Baptists off of their marquee. They don't want to be identified with the Baptists anymore because they think it'll draw a crowd. They think that we're dividing when we have a name that identifies what we believe. I want people to know what I believe, don't you? I want them to know that I hold Baptistic views. When they come into this church, I hope they'll know and can pretty much be assured of what we're going to preach. We're going to preach from this Bible. I believe everything that we believe as Baptist is based on this Bible. And if we're running and operating our churches according to the teachings of the Word of God, there's no reason for us to depart from that tradition that's been passed down to us through the Baptists. And I've said this many times. I heard somebody else say it before we picked it up, but I'm Baptist born, Baptist bred, and when I'm dead, I'll be that Baptist dead. And I'm not changing. I'm not going to take... I'm not pastoring a church that don't say Baptist on it. I've made up my mind. And I'm fixed. And I've got my sights to the end of the road. And I want to stay in that path that God has placed me on. But we see the time these teachers will come. They'll come in the last days. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter writes about that time too. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. If First Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, I believe that's it. So, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let me look at 2 Peter. I believe that's what I'm looking for. 2 Peter chapter 2. I've got it down wrong. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So we see that Paul warned about those false teachers that was coming, those that was going to depart from the faith. And we see that Peter warned the same thing. And in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, for they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I say, if we'll stay in this book, and we'll stay close to God, and we'll stay with a right relationship, and let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, when false teachers and those that have departed away from the truth of the Word of God, if you'll study your Bible, like Paul told young Timothy, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divine the Word of truth. If we'll stay with this book, thus saith the Word of God, then when false teachers come along, we won't get caught up in that. If we'll watch what we listen to, if you're not strong, and if you're not pretty grounded in the basic doctrines of the Bible, you better leave some of this stuff alone. Because I'm going to tell you, these guys are smooth teachers. These just departed from the faith, and they can almost convince you, if you're not careful, that they're right. That they've got a hold of something new, that we've been fed a line down through the years, and they all of a sudden have got a hold of the truth. But Paul told Timothy, he said, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. He didn't say everybody. I'm glad that we still got some that's holding the line and towing the line, aren't you? Hey, I'm glad of some old-fashioned Baptists. And I know if we're not careful, we'll get out on tangents and things like that. But I'm going to tell you, I'm talking about the basic doctrines of the truth of the Word of God. Those things that we can't compromise on. Those things that we can't walk away from, those things that's been handed down to us through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And if it lines up with this book, we just better stay with it. We better stay with it. But that word said, that word that gives us that word latter or later or coming after, it's a word lastly, it means lastly, those latter days. He said they'll come. And we know that they've been coming. Even when Paul was here, there was some of these false teachers. When Peter was here, he was warning. And they're more rampant today than ever. You turn on your radio. Hey, I remember back under the big gun, 1010, used to have some great preachers on there. It had Dr. Harold B. Seiler. It had Brother Edgar Thomas. It had Mase Jackson. There was another one. Oliver B. Green. He was on there. There was four men of God that was on there, and they was on there every morning, I believe, from like 15 after 9 or 9:15. I know Dr. Seiler was on there. Every morning, the bright spot hour. And then we had the guiding light with Brother Edgar Thomas. And you had men like that. And then Several years back, before Brother Edgar died, they started reformatting their schedule. And here's what he said. They put him, and they was going to move him from 10 o'clock to 3 or 3:30 in the afternoon. And he got off the air. He said, ain't nobody going to listen that time of the day. You know, that was when people that were shut-ins and people that was unable sometime to go to church, they would listen to them old men of God. They looked forward to getting up in the morning and listening because they knew that they were going to preach truth. They knew that they was going to preach salvation, right? Hey, we've got a weekly spirit that's went across this land today. It's flooded our churches. It's weakened the teachings of the Word of God for salvation by grace, plus nothing, minus nothing. And we've seen this come across our land today, and people are embracing these doctrines. They're preaching that everybody's saved, you know. This universal salvation that Jesus died on the cross, that every person that's come into this world is saved. That He's redeemed all mankind. And this Bible don't line up with teaching like that. It lines up that He's died for all men. And that His blood is sufficient for all men. And that if all men will come and they'll believe and they'll trust Jesus as their Savior and they'll receive Him as their Lord and Savior, then He'll save them and forgive them of their sin. And there is a place called heaven and hell. We've seen the doctrine of hell that's been weakened in this day and hour that we're living in. People don't want to preach about hell anymore. Hey, the doctrine of the second coming and what God's going to do with this earth. He's going to renovate this earth. He's going to burn it off and melt the thing out. It's going to melt with a fervent heat. They try to discredit all this doctrine that the Bible teaches. I don't understand how a lot of it's going to take place, but if it's in this Bible, and I believe that this Bible is God-breathed, and I believe it's given under the inspiration, and God moved upon those old holy men of old, and He's pinned this Bible down, He's given it to us for a reason, I believe it's going to take place. Don't matter if we understand it totally, I believe we ought to strive to understand it and get a hold of all the things that we can get a hold of. But people want to discredit it. And Paul knew that that's what was going to happen with young Timothy. So we see that Paul warned him about those that were departing from the faith. The time these teachers would come would be in the latter days. And we see the teaching that they would teach in verse 2. It says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, we've seen people, that's what's happened. They've got, people's conscience has got seared. They're looking for something new. They're looking to be. They're looking to be the one that brings about the revealing of the truth. They're looking for something new to teach people, to get them a following. They want to have a monopoly on God and Jesus, and on religion, on Christianity. They want to discredit it. Says speaking lies in hypocrisy. Speaking or teaching falsely. Speaking lies. Telling things that's untrue. Corrupting the teaching of the Word of God. Then verse 3, he said, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Who does that sound like? Sound like Roman Catholic, don't it? Bible says, man found a wife, he's found a good thing. And right prior to this, chapter 3, Paul tells, said, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Now, if they couldn't marry, why would he tell them that they had to be blameless and the husband of one wife? Why would he deal with their marital status if it was wrong for them to get married? We see a lot of these men, you're seeing what's happening today, they're burning with lust and they're getting them for all kinds of immorality and things that's coming to out in these situations where these are abstaining, forbidden to marry, and then commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Verse 4 says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, God said some things. He sanctified some food that we can eat. I believe we need anything, you know, if we want to pray over it. But He did sanctify some food in the Bible. And if we'll eat it the way He told us to, and that the things that He tells us to, now there's some things that's not as good for you. If you got high blood pressure, you know you don't want to eat hog meat. I mean, it's bad for you. You can eat it. It's an unclean animal. And everything that God has sanctified in the book of Leviticus, usually it turned out to be bad for you, but you can eat it if you receive it with thanksgiving. Pray over it. Nothing, bacon's good. Pork chop is good. Now, I don't eat a lot of them because I'm not crazy about pork that much, but I do eat it. Chicken probably, it's probably as nasty a creature as you could eat. But it's good if it's received with thanksgiving. But anyway, we see the problem. Why they're doing that. Verse 2, why they're forbidding all that, their consciences got seared. It's seared with a hot iron. That word seared, it comes from a word that means to mark by branding or branded with their own conscience, whose souls are branded with the marks of sin, who carry about with them the perpetual consciousness of sin. They've been calloused. They've been seared. They've just participated in these things. They've taught these false doctrines and all this corrupt teaching until their conscience is seared. And a lot of times you'll find out in the end that there's sin involved. And it is sin. Teaching erroneous teachings. So we see that they've been hardened. They're forbidding. They're burning with lust. They're burdened with legalism. The latter part of verse 3. We see the doctrine that's taught, verses 4 and 5, about marriage. We know that Proverbs 18, verse 20 says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Proverbs 5, 18 said, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9 said, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy position, portion in this life and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. And then about the meats there in verse 4 and 5. Then we see the directions that he is to give. Verse 6, he said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. So we see the instructions he's to give. Who he's to tell it to, he's to tell it, give it to others, these things that he's received, that he'll be faithful minister, he'll tell them the truth, he'll give them what's been given to him, he'll pass it along to them that he comes into contact with, those that he's preaching to, what he's to tell. There in verse 6, he said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things that I'm telling you, they'll stay away from this. They'll not get caught up in this. They'll not fall away, depart from the faith. And then how he'll profit. He said, thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of a good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Then he tells them what to stay away from. He said, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. And exercise thyself rather to godliness. So we see the things he's to refuse or to avoid there in verse 7. And then he goes on down verse 8 and he gives him some other instructions about godliness. He said, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come." You know, bodily exercise is good. It'll keep you in good shape. It'll keep your body strong. He said it'll profit a little. But he gave him something else that would profit a whole lot more. He said godliness. You know, if we'll practice godliness in our lives, it'll keep us from sin. It'll keep us from things that's detrimental to our health. It'll keep things that's detrimental for, away from us, that's detrimental to our families. He said, "For bodily exercise profiteth a little." We all do a little exercise. And it's a hard thing to do. Unto all, but godliness is profitable unto all things. I'm going to tell you what, godliness will help our churches. It'll strengthen our churches. We've got some people that will get a hold of godliness. Godliness is profitable in this life. Godliness will keep families together. Godliness will train children up in the way that they should go. Godliness in our churches will ensure that we can experience the power of God in our assembly. Godliness, I believe, will ensure that we'll see people saved. Then, verse 9, he said, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation." I'm glad that God's faithful. And the things that He tells us to work in our lives, it'll work. And if we just get that point, we can just come to the realization that God is in control, that God's right. Don't worry about what people think about us. We'll live our lives and instruct our children to live their lives according to this Bible. They're always wanting to talk about why we're losing our young people in this day and hour that we're living in. And they want to blame it on the teachings that we've taught down through the years about this from this Bible. Well, I heard someone say this morning that Hillary said that they've got to change people's minds, Christians, about Christianity. We've got to change their minds about these things that's been accepted today, about abortion, about homosexuality. I'm not changing my mind. It's sin. It's wrong. This Bible's against it. And we need to uphold it.